And Rocket is with us on a Tuesday morning thanks to Bocca Espresso. Check them out at boccaespresso.com.au. I've had one this morning, and it was got me up and about early doors, Rocket. Good morning to you.
Morning, Daniel. Morning, Adam. How are you going?
We're going well. Did you get your espresso in this morning, Rocket?
Yes, I did, mate. Yes. So just a business that's just been to start up. My stepson's just started, so it's... apart from being good coffee, mate, and free shipping around Australia, it's climate neutral, so it's 100% compostable, so aluminium free. So all those people who like good coffee but look after the environment, please get on.
I love compostable, and I like delivery free across the nation. That's what I like. They're the key words right there, Rocket.
It's a real smart play, Rocket, for all those people that live in Fitzroy and those sorts of areas that are environmentally friendly. That's really going to strike a chord with those people.
Yes, hopefully it is. But it is good coffee. It's I've got four blends, so jump on board, boys and girls out there. So please do.
Righto. Bocca Espresso, B-O-C-A, espresso.com.au. Rocket, it's grand final week. How's it feel for you? It's obviously very different for most of us at the moment, but how's it feel for you?
The same as you. It's a bit different not being in town, isn't it? It changes the whole dynamic, really, doesn't it? It's Melbourne's always a buzz at this time of year, and lunches and dinners and parties and a fair bit of hype. But unfortunately, it's not in town, so we've got to drum up our own hype about it. But yes, mate, I can.
Yeah, it's a lot to look forward to. I reckon what we might have to do, Rocket, this week on Friday, because it's still the public holiday, of course, Whitey, on Friday. We're having a public holiday for grand final week this year, which is fantastic.
Very sensible thing to do.
We might just have to do our own little cashy, just to put on a show ourselves on Zoom, and just amongst each other, and just pretend it's a cashy so we're not missing out in grand final week.
Well, Rocket's a lot of...
Now, Rocket's just dropped out there for a second. We'll get back to Rocket very shortly. But can you imagine imagine Billy, what Billy's missing out on this year. And Richo, in terms of the cashies, they'd be missing out on heaps. Oh, poor fellas. Poor fellas.
Yes, it's a very interesting week. That's not going to be what it would normally be, obviously. There's no question about that.
Rockets, we've got the heavyweights. We've got the two teams that I think... if you purely said we want to see a great challenge of different styles of footy with teams that are experienced and know about the biggest stage, then these two teams are probably the ones you want to watch on grand final day, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, mate. They're the best two sides. So it's interesting both losing their first final and coming back. So
yeah,
learning something from it. I think we all thought their first two losses weren't bad losses, even though... probably Geelong got criticised a bit. They created a lot of chances against Port, so they're too heavy. I think the difference between the teams looking at it, and people are saying, well, who's going to win? They've both got superstars at the top end. I reckon it's going to come down, which is not normally my thought, to the bottom six of the teams. And I think Richmond's bottom six are probably a bit better than Geelong's bottom six. So I think that may be the difference in the end.
So there's been a lot of conversation, Rocket, about the impact Dustin Martin's having in finals, not only this season, but in the last couple of seasons, but certainly in the last couple of weeks for Richmond. Can you afford to, if you're Geelong, now that's not necessarily something they do too often, although Cam Guthrie has done it in the past, can you afford to get someone just to sit on him and try and take him out of the contest?
Oh, no doubt. It's been proven in the past. And you look at St Kilda, and it was a bit last week as well, and we know that he does centre bounces and float forward and someone comes in. Why both teams haven't prepared for those scenarios? I just, like St Kilda just let him go at stoppages. Graham came in and then Martin by himself. It's the same that happened on the weekend. You've got to prepare for those scenarios, and you train for them. Really is mind-boggling for me how both teams have let him get the matchups that Richmond want, and also at times he's just by himself and he's going to do so much damage. So he's not a fitness machine. He's at least he's got to be under some sort of pressure. You've got someone near him. I mean, he can still kick some goals and still maybe have some damage, but it's been proven teams have sat on him have been able to limit his influence on a game. And if I was Geelong, I'd be doing that.
So if you yeah, see, for Chris Scott and the match committee this week discussing how to take something away, and I'll get more on your thoughts on that shortly about taking something away from the opposition, but he's the top thing on the whiteboard. Dusty out. Take yes. Dusty out.
Yeah, and there's a bit more complexity than a normal tag, so it's got to be maybe a different type of player when he's forward compared to the centre square, but there's a handover situation, and players are smart enough to work that. And as coaches, spend a bit of time on it. So if you limit his influence, it goes a long way for Richmond to lose.
So, Rocket, we were talking about this yesterday, about how much relevance we place on what's happened previously between these two teams, because Richmond have won 5 of the last 6 games between the two teams. And obviously we saw a situation, albeit at Metricon Stadium, not at the Gabba, where Geelong just couldn't score for a large portion of the match against Richmond. How much of that comes into this one, or is it a different set of circumstances because the teams are different, 6 weeks has passed, all that sort of thing?
I think it's relevant to a degree. It depends on Geelong, are they prepared to do some things differently? You would think on those stats and the way it's been played, if they go in them with the same plan, they'll probably get the same result. And I think Geelong have shown that they can change. Against Collingwood, they move the ball so quickly rather than being a measured approach, as in kick, mark, they played on. So that they've shown that, certainly at times, that they've changed positions with players, where Dangerfield plays, blitz halves, their style of play. So I would think Geelong would do their homework, and they would do some little tweaks here and there with their, maybe their style, but certainly their matchups. And no, they haven't been a tagging team on that point. What is that? They haven't been a tagging side, but they may this week do that with Martin. So that may be a change. They may change up their stoppages a little bit to be able to compensate for that. So I would think they need to do something differently just by going out and playing and giving the best shot. I don't think we'll get the job done on what history has said.
Now, for someone that has coached at Metricon Stadium and obviously coached a lot of times at the Gabba as well, but you know the differences between the dimensions of the two grounds, does that come into it at all? Is Geelong more comfortable playing Richmond at the Gabba compared to Metricon Stadium, or it's negligible the difference and it doesn't come into play at all?
I think Geelong are more comfortable at the Gabba, and Richmond's home ground this year has been Metricon. So but I think it's negligible. I think the grounds aren't super different. There's a little bit more width down at Metricon. So I don't think it'll be a lot of difference. I think it'll give them a little bit more confidence for Geelong, but it'd be smaller. I think Richmond played at Metricon against St Kilda because it was more of an inconvenience for St Kilda to travel from Maroochydore down to the Gold Coast, and for the travel factor for Richmond. I think both teams are on the Gold Coast. I don't think it's going to be much difference. Negligible. Both would say they've got reasonable records there, so I don't think it's going to be any difference at all, any problem for either side.
I think the Cats are undefeated this year at the Gabba. They might be 6-6, which is a good thing. They'll be pretty keen to try and continue that clearly in a grand final and be very comfortable in that environment. I think Richmond have won 2 and lost 1 in their time at the Gabba this year, so pretty handy as well. Rocket, going back to what we were talking about before about taking something away, we were talking about Geelong taking Dusty away from the Tigers and his impact on the contest on Saturday night. What about if you're Damien Hardwick and you're trying to take something away from the Cats? What do they do that you need to be able to stop to defeat the Cats?
It's a good question. Obviously, Dangerfield's the main thing. Now we're getting down to individuals. And they'll cope forward. Grimes probably takes him, maybe. So it's that. I think they've got to try... I think Richmond's style suits against the Cats because the Cats generally like to be measured out of defence. I think their forward half game, Richmond, needs to be on song. If they can be on song, they can keep the ball in their front half. So therefore, if the Cats do try and move a little bit more quickly, they can maybe cause some turnovers. So that's what they've got to be able to do. Their ball movement of Geelong is what they've got to take away. The individuals will be blitz halves, as I mentioned before, where he plays, and be prepared for that and do the homework, and where Dangerfield plays and how they manage that. So, but I think it's the forward half game of the Tigers they've got to have on song.
Possible 40% chance of rain with a chance of a thunderstorm on Saturday afternoon / evening, Rocket, at the Gabba. If the weather does come, does it play into the hands of one in front of the other?
I think Richmond's game plan suits all types of conditions. And I think with the wet weather, with their surge mentality, a bit of chaos, you know, they're prepared just to hack it forward, get it, knock it on, soccer it, where Geelong play a bit more of a controlled game. It's harder to control the ball when it's wet. So I would think it would suit Richmond. I think that would suit their style. They're prepared like last week against Port. They just got it forward consistently, constantly, just got it there going, and then eventually things open up for them.
Yeah, it certainly seemed to be pretty effective in the conditions last Friday night for the Tigers. And of the beaten brigade with Port Adelaide and Brisbane, Rocket, how do you sum up their years? Do they walk away lamenting a lost opportunity, or do they celebrate achievement again and progression again?
I think Brisbane were probably the most disappointing out of it. I think the 40 points probably flattered them in the end. They could have lost by a lot more. So they've got some homework to do. They've got some areas that they've got to fix. Danaher, if he gets fit, will help them forward.
Yep.
Certainly some size, maybe a bigger midfielder. I think Ellis Yeoman wasn't the answer there. I think Port would be pleased. I think they weren't far away. They didn't beat them by much. They didn't beat Port by much. They're right in it. They've got some good kids to come through. They've drafted well the last couple of years. So you would imagine Port would be able to take the next step, so be able to be up there again. So Brisbane, for me, would be on the precipice. Whether they can or whether they'll teeter backwards. But overall, you'd say they've had a great year. They've improved from last season, but the test now for Brisbane is to go again.
It's interesting, Port Adelaide, I think they're still a little bit upset that they didn't get the job done on Friday night. They thought they were a really big chance of beating the Tigers and didn't quite get over the line. But you kind of feel that the natural improvement, Rocket, from that list will hold them in good stead for next year. But I just wonder whether, that the need for an extra forward to take the pressure off Charlie Dixon to make them potentially less predictable going forward is something that they need to address. Now, maybe Georgiades will be that player. Maybe Marshall will come on and be that player. But I kind of feel that they need to address that particular position. But apart from that, they look pretty good.
Yeah, I think I was probably talking of their whole aspect of where they're at. But you're right. I think their style of play, as far as how they enter 50, I think it stands up okay to wet weather and under pressure because they just get it going forward. But I think they do bomb it too much. They do go to Charlie a fair bit. And even though he's a good contested mark, once there's two players involved or he gets body work, he seems to get pushed off the line of the ball. So he gives a contest, but he doesn't really look like he's going to take the mark. Boak's getting a bit older, Gray's getting a bit older, so they've got some how they perform again next year. But I think you're right, Marshall, hopefully he can step up, and if they can get another one, whether the Ruckman, whether Laddams and Lysette can give them improve enough. You think Lysette's probably reached his peak, whether Laddams can give them something. But yeah, that's an issue for it. So the thing is, with teams that finish top four, it's not automatic next year. Other teams will improve. So if Port don't get better, if Port don't look to say, listen, we need to improve by 10%, where's our hole, other teams will go past them. So that's the nature of AFL footy. And you think the other teams, not only the other four that have made the eight, but the other teams outside the eight are going to want to improve and jump up.
Well, that was Port's story this year, wasn't it? They had 10 wins last year, I think it was, and outside the eight, and now they rocketed back into it and finished on top of the ladder. So someone traditionally does that, Rocket. You're spot on. So that's the challenge again for both of those teams. Hey, can I just change tack a bit? Alistair Clarkson, Rocket, was on AFL 360 last night. He was talking about coaches and the strain on coaches of recent years and some of the challenges they face. Let's have a listen to the four-time premiership coach, and I'll get your take on it, Rocket.
I'm a bit concerned for our profession, to be fair, particularly the 17 peers in the roles that we've got. And as I said, hats off to Scotty and Dimmer for managing the seasons that they've had this year. But, you know, when I look at the list that I made up earlier, you know, Hurdy, Bomber Thompson, Bales, Walshy, Lades, Spud Frawley, Pikey, now Reece Shaw. And there's probably others too, you know, who have done it tough.
So you mentioned a lot of coaches there concerned for the profession, Rocket, and the strain and the stresses that go with it. Now, notwithstanding this year is quite different, again, it's another layer, again, to a very, very stressful and complex job being a senior coach in an AFL club. Has he got a case? Is there something that needs to be done to support coaches better or to limit the strain on them somehow?
Yeah, for sure. There's no doubt about it. I wrote an article early in the year and I said that there is strain. It's much about once you leave, once you are sacked. A few of those examples have probably been during their tenure, but it's as much to as feeling your self-worth and where you're at and where you're going. And I think the Coaches Association do a good job through Mark Brayshaw. But there needs to be another level. I don't know if the AFL itself appreciates it enough, whether they can interview coaches, and they should. I know in the past they have interviewed coaches, but it's been a token gesture, about the pressures and the stresses and what can be done to assist coaches on their way out. And players, I've heard, too, feel this way, and certainly coaches do. You feel like you're on the scrap heap. You feel like you're gone. That's it. There's no connection anymore. There's no contact. And some coaches have said that, and they feel so. It happens. There's a lot of assistance going to players, but I don't know if there's enough done for coaches, to be honest.
Is there a way, Rocket, that the demands on time can be altered? So that maybe it's time to do something, to have another hobby or another business on the side or something, so that when that time does come, that event inevitably happens to all coaches, that you get the boot, that there's not this big hole and void in your professional career. Is there a way to limit the time demand? Start pre-season in January every year as opposed to just this year because it's different. And, you know, 3 days a week, 3.5 days a week instead of 17 days a week because coaches work like madmen.
Yeah, they do, and as long as then clubs don't say, oh, they don't work hard enough, because once the results aren't there, there's criticisms coming from everywhere, and especially on the way out, they'll say one thing, that works too hard, or didn't work enough because you delegated too much, and you've got to develop coaches. They'll say, oh, you don't work hard enough, and if you're there the whole time, you say, well, you need a break. It's about how clubs handle it as well and their demands they put on coaches. So it's a bit of both. I think it's the self-pressure, it's the mind pressure, but if they can allow that and allow some delegation and some coaches are allowed to let the reins in their own mind. I think Lee Matthews was always one that didn't start till after Christmas. So before Christmas wasn't there with any of the training. Some coaches can't do that in their own mind. Others... but I think it's a good balance. I think you need to be able to get away from it and not feel the threat and not feel that you're under pressure and not feel that you're under pressure to perform as well. So, again, it comes back to the mind, and that's what we're talking about, how it's very easy to say to do something, but it's the own mind as well.
I mean, how can it change, Rocky, in the sense of, you know, the amount of hours that the assistant coaches do and the amount of hours the senior coaches do during the course of the week? A lot will tell you that they work far too many hours, but they feel that there is this pressure that, well, if I don't work the hours, I've got to justify my job, or I might lose my job if I'm not putting in the same amount of hours as another assistant coach. How do we change that so that they don't feel, half the time it's almost like justifying your role as opposed to actually just doing a good job?
Yeah, that's in the mind of the coach. Really, the only way to alleviate that is the club support and them reassuring to say this is what you need to do. So there needs to be, when I'm saying the AFL, I mean the whole industry, be able to say, listen, listen, Reece, you need to take a break. No, that's okay. Coach, it won't be held against you if you've got this. To have this open conversation, have the confidence and the trust that you can have that conversation. Some coaches don't feel that there's that trust. Oh, as you said, Adam, oh, if I don't get results, I'm not going to be here. I've got a year to go on my contract. So you maybe change things or work harder, put your nose to the grindstone, or that you don't get a break, and you haven't got the confidence that the decision's going to matter, because clubs are very political. So there's going to be some that support you, some that don't. People on the board, and you feel that. So it needs that conversation from the club and the CEO to be able to allay any fears.
So one final one, and I don't mean to put you under the grill or on the spot, but with the experience that you've got, are you willing or prepared, or do you want to put up your hand to potentially help the situation at North Melbourne, or there's a couple of other clubs that are looking for that support to a youngish senior coach? Do you want to get back into that, or are you happy with what you're doing?
That's a good question. I think with my experience, I like helping people. I think I'd like to do that. I think it's proven that North Melbourne, in case, didn't have any experience around where you had a new football manager, and people, we're focusing on Reece and obviously having a new coach, but generally a new coach will have an experienced football manager or an experienced CEO. So have a new CEO and then have an inexperienced football manager. So as half said, it's a strange year with the hubs, but you couldn't foresee that. But once results are going to go against you, there's always this enormous pressure and always self-pressure. And then having that an experienced person around who can not only help the coaches, but I don't think there's enough work to just to be helping the coaches, but to help the inexperienced footy department or the direction where you're going or where the game's going. So you're offering ideas and then support for different people. Yeah, I think it's a very valid role, and there's probably four or five clubs around. Adelaide's one, whether Essendon, whether they're going through, Melbourne, it's a whole range of different areas of situation that I think that, yeah, I think there is a role for that. And to answer your question, yeah, I probably would like to, yeah, to be honest.
Well, if that phone's not ringing, there's something wrong, Rocket. We love having you on our program. Your insight in the world of footy and your mind is absolutely sharp as a tack. We think it's fantastic. Maybe it's all that Bocca espresso. We look forward to a great weekend of grand final activity and chatting to you very, very soon. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to it.